Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You make me feel so comfortable this morning, leaving this nice gap between me and thee. Just like most Lutheran churches across the country, I'm glad they take after their pastors, and that you are well trained in that. As we continue this Easter week, I would like to direct your attention for a few moments to the words of the angel to Mary, as is recorded by the gospel writer Matthew in the 28th chapter in the 5th, 6th, and 7th verses, these words. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples." In the name of the risen Lord Jesus, dear fellow Easter Christians, what's your image of an Easter Christian? Monday morning, as I was talking to my pastor, I was reliving some of my parish experiences through him, talking about Easter Christians. He wasn't quite sure on Easter Monday whether he should be tremendously elated or whether he should be tremendously downcast. He was elated as he shared with me that in our congregation, where normally 900 people attend on Sunday morning, there were 1,600 on Easter morning, and boy, was he feeling good about that. But the more he thought about it, he said, next Sunday it will probably be 700. And he was feeling very depressed about that, which caused him to begin to reflect upon this thing we normally refer to as Easter Christians, as people who come and worship on Easter, and then you don't see them again in public worship for a long time. As I was thinking about that, I thought, boy, how we play with words. An Easter Christian describes someone who worships on Easter Sunday? That's hardly the portrait that I see coming from the Scriptures, that I see coming out of the Easter event, or that I would want to see in the Church of Jesus Christ today. And so on the basis of these words, I would like to paint a new portrait of an Easter Christian, and maybe a future Easter preacher, if you will. And the two major strokes that I want to pull out of this text for our consideration are two imperatives of the angel to the women. Very simply put, come see, go tell. It's fascinating to read the Easter accounts and the reaction of those who were so near and dear to the Lord to all that happened on that Easter Sunday morning. You would have thought if there were ever a time for a tremendous celebration and a time to break forth in joyous singing, that would have been the day. But it's hardly what you see. The women go to the tomb with a heavy heart and a concern about who's going to roll away the stone. Now, Jesus had told them he was going to rise from the dead, but they didn't believe it. They were going out to anoint his dead body. When they get there, and the stone is rolled away, do they start breaking forth in a Te Deum? The Lord is risen! Praise the Lord! No. No, they have a lot of problems understanding what has happened. In fact, even after they come and see, their report is somebody has taken the body of the Lord and we don't know where they put it. If you're male chauvinists, I want to remind you that the disciples didn't do much better. Peter and John, who were specifically told about what had happened that morning, did they break forth in joyous singing? Not at all. For Mark records they didn't believe it. And so they had to go and see for themselves. And when they went running to the tomb, saw the grave clothes there undisturbed, did they then believe it? No, they went away wondering what had happened. When the disciples on the road to Emmaus had that great opportunity of talking to the Lord Jesus, did they say, "Oh, wonderful, you've been raised from the dead. Isn't it great to see you alive again?" No. They didn't even know who it was until later when they invited him to eat, and then he opens up their eyes and they see him for who he truly is. And then they go and tell the other disciples. Did the other disciples say, "Oh, great, that's what the women told us"? No, they still wouldn't believe. That's why these first imperatives of the angel, "Come and see," are so deeply crucial in the work that you've committed your life to perform in this earth. Oftentimes, you're going to be tempted to think, at least, if only the risen Christ were there in person, perhaps you could touch old Cold Bill's heart some way, and he would come to see this risen Lord and believe in him, and everything would go fine. But it didn't work any better at the first resurrection than it does today. For the only way that man really comes to see is that the Holy Spirit works upon his heart through word and sacrament and helps him to see a risen Christ just as he's helped our eyes of faith to see him. And by the grace of God, we have come and we have seen not a dead Christ, but a living, resurrected Christ, ruling his kingdom, having called us to be his servants in that kingdom. For we have come, we have seen by his grace, and through the power of his Spirit, we know and accept and trust this living Lord and Savior as our Lord and Savior. And that is the only way it happens. And that's why you and I, who would be servants of his people, we need to come and to see for ourselves, so that with our own eyes of faith, we're convinced, we're motivated, we know, and we confess that he is risen indeed. But once that happens, the other strong stroke in the portrait of the Easter Christian then comes to mind. Go tell. The Christians on Easter morning seem to have done a great job of that. They weren't sure what they were telling, but they were telling. They were telling it like it was, even though they didn't understand it. They still went and shared that message. You and I know less. In the world in which we live today, live under the great imperative, go and tell. We live under the great commission to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. We live under that imperative because God wants all men to be saved. For he died for all. He opened the gates of heaven for all people, so that through the power of his Spirit, those who come to know and accept him as Lord and Savior of their life
can enter by His grace and merit into the everlasting joys prepared for them. That gives to you and to me a glorious and joyful task. In this country in which we live, oftentimes we like to think that everybody is already an Easter Christian, and that's hardly the truth. Almost half of the people of this country don't even belong to a Christian church. And many of you are going to soon get calls to places that you think everybody's a Christian, or if they're not, they know where St. John's Lutheran Church is, and they can come in anytime they want. You won't keep them out. That is not what the Lord says to you. He says, go tell them. Go tell them about a God who loves them so much that He sacrifices His Son on Calvary's cross as a payment for their sins, to keep the law which they could not keep, to pay the price, that God might declare them righteous and receive them into His kingdom. Unbelievable? You bet it is. And the only reason that many of us may not think so is because many of us were graced already in infancy through the waters of baptism to be claimed as His own. Many of us were graced to have lived in second and third generation Christian homes in which we really don't know what it's like to be outside of God's love and grace. We've been told ever since infancy of God's immense love for us, and we've grown to know and accept and to trust that through the power of God's Spirit. But there are a lot of people who have not been blessed that way. And they're still waiting. Still waiting in their lives that are falling apart. Still waiting in their conditions that seem so hopeless. Still waiting, wondering, what's that church really doing there that never makes any contact with me, who claims to be able to help the whole world, and they're not even touching my world? And there are millions of those people in this country and around the world who are still waiting ever so impatiently and don't even know that we have good news for them. Oh, my brothers and sister Easter Christians, as we have just celebrated again the great event of His resurrection from the dead, and by His grace have had the wonderful privilege to come and see and to have our faith renewed in a risen, living Christ, so I commit unto you the ministry to which God has called you, to go and tell that glorious good news of Jesus Christ risen from the dead to all people who still do not know Him as their personal Savior. And may God's Spirit use you mightily these days as you study and witness, and as you prepare yourself for full-time servanthood in the Church of Jesus Christ, that He would use you mightily in your life to comfort, to equip, and by His grace, to reach many others with the good news, He is risen indeed. Amen.